As Pastor Lori mentioned, we are in the middle of a sermon series about the three basic rules that we have as United Methodists, which of course came to us through the Methodist movement side of our tradition with John Wesley, who lived in the 1700s. And when John was out doing his work, he was deeply concerned about just how life was going around him and about the state of how people interacted in their Christian life. And he believed that today could be different and that today would be different. And he offered three rules for people to live out their faith in such a way that it wasn't so much about being a good person. It was about living like Jesus. Now, John Wesley, in his early zealousness, created then this movement that multiplied and took over the world and became known as what we call now the United Methodist Church, which of course is a global movement with millions of members and has expressed itself in so many different countries. And we have different ways of living out our faith. And historically, you know, we kind of ebb and flow with how we live out both the Evangelical United Brethren side as well as the Methodist side. But this morning, I want us to take time particularly to think a little bit about some of those early Methodist days on the Methodist side with Wesley and his three simple rules and how it helps us let today be different. Last week, as Pastor Lori mentioned, I preached about do no harm, and I read to you actually what John Wesley wrote for those who were living out these three simple rules. Now, I want to mention about these rules, these were for people who already felt kind of the love of God in their life. They knew that they wanted to be a Christian. They knew Jesus loved them, this I know, and they wanted to do something about it. And so these rules were meant as a way for them to grow in their faith and their expression of their love of Jesus. And as I mentioned, with do no harm, it was more about not making mistakes, but it was about an active way that we lived in the world to eliminate ways that we intentionally might harm ourselves, others, as well as God. And we reviewed all of the rules, and some of them, for those of you who are able to be here in person or maybe watched online, some of them maybe deeply resonated with you. Some of them made you chuckle. There was one or two I read where it kind of made you laugh a little bit that he had put the rule in there. There were some that caused us all to get quiet because we realized how absolutely encompassing it would be if we said yes to living in that way. It was definitely a challenge, maybe, to some of the things that we would be comfortable or not comfortable doing. Wesley was really good about making sure there was this blend of real, that internal personal commitment, as well as the impact it had on our culture. And today we're going to get a chance to look at his second rule, which is do good. And once again, I am going to actually read what he wrote to those original United societies that would live by these rules. Now, keep in mind, this was not necessarily an introductory to Christianity sort of thing. This is, again, like I said, for people who had committed, and not only committed to a certain methodical way of being Christian, they would meet weekly in support groups, and they would review the rule and say, how's it going with your soul? How's it going as you try to live this out? And they would talk with one another about the things that were going well and the things that they were struggling with. This rule was meant to be something that they reflected on every single week of their life as they sought to be like Jesus. So here we go, looking at do good. And you should keep in mind then that it wasn't a one-way piece. This was something for people to be able to talk about with one another. And that all these rules are supposed to go together. They don't make sense when you take them apart. So here we are with doing good. Wesley wrote, secondly, by doing good, by being in every kind merciful after their power, as they have opportunity, doing good of every possible sort and as far as possible to all men. I'm going to pause there. Maybe part of that hopefully looks a little familiar to you. Doing good of every possible sort. United Methodists are fond of saying, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, right? And it goes on. There's a lot of can. We can. And the point that Wesley is saying here, especially as we consider about doing good, is that it really is upon us to think about what is it that I can do in my own power? What is it in my sphere of influence? What's happening in my life right now? What is one way, many ways that I can do good right now? And recognizing that that will look differently for me than maybe it would for you, based on who I am, the gifts that I have to bring, as well as the people that I interact with in my life. Sometimes, in our Methodist traditions, we can get stuck on doing all the good we can and forgetting that they stay coupled with do no harm and stay in love with God. And I think maybe we've possibly, depending on your own experiences, you might have gotten yourself into doing good and forgetting those other two parts and seeing how wrong it can go, right? Have you ever gotten to a place where you wanted to be kind of superhuman and do something pretty incredible and you become a holy terror to everybody around you? I'm assuming by that laughter that maybe I'm not alone here. Once or twice, especially early on in my marriage, I said to my husband, who is so merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, I said to him, I'm going to get this done if it kills me. And he's like, so is it going to kill you or are you going to get it done? You know, I mean, he would regularly kind of push back sometimes if I'd get a little overzealous on the doing good and forgetting maybe, you know, you're kind of doing harm by all that good you're trying to do. So remember, this all kind of goes in line, and that's why it's important for us when we think about doing good is about really being honest on reflecting what does that mean for how I am using my power well. And sometimes, as we're going to see, sometimes it's going to cause us to have to push further than we're accustomed to, but we'll get into that in the other points of here. But remember, doing good also without doing harm and making sure we stay in love with God. So let's see a little more specifically about what Wesley also had to say about doing good as we think about this in our lives today. He said, doing good includes to their bodies of the ability which God giveth by giving food to the hungry, by clothing the naked, by visiting or helping them that are sick or in prison. So again, lifting up what we would label as traditional works of mercy. And hopefully these sound familiar not only from our scripture from Romans, but also in the Gospels when Jesus commands us to live in a way that is generous and compassionate toward others. He also then goes on to add a little more good past that. It's like Jesus said that, and let's keep going. This second point I want to mention before I read it out loud is keep in mind context and the days in which he was living. So this is one that I'm going to have to unpack a little bit because it has to do with a contemporary issue of his day. But you might find that it still exists here. So let's read the second part. To their souls, by instructing, reproving, or exhorting all that we have interactions with, trampling underfoot that enthusiastic doctrine that we are not to do good unless our hearts be free to it. So this one is a little strange to read. And this is where I'm going to put in a little bit of a side point in that Wesley, as I mentioned, lived in the 1700s, and I mentioned last week that he also was a highly educated person. He went to Oxford. Not only did he go to Oxford, but he also taught Greek at Oxford, and so he was quite the scholar and was accustomed to running in academic circles in addition to his local congregational ministry that he did. And it was very popular, especially among kind of the academic circles and those who were considered learned of the day, you know, the philosophers and the people who were talking about Christianity or other intellectual pursuits, to have this kind of doctrine, which is we are not to do good unless our hearts be free to it. In other words, you know, you shouldn't really be pushed into doing something if it feels uncomfortable. It should just, like, you know, if you feel like doing it, you should do it, but otherwise, don't worry about it. You know, there was a lot of happening in those circles to kind of avoid doing the harder parts of being a Christian. And they would mask it around saying, like, if you don't really want to, that's not a good thing to do. And they would go through all kinds of crazy academic exercises to just kind of make Christianity be convenient for them. We don't do that anymore, though, do we? And so Wesley is trying to cut through a lot of those popular teachings of the time, and he uses very zealous language to say that he disagrees with that. And what I think is important as we measure is, of course, we should never feel pushed into something. But in that particular time, it was people using it as a reason to get out of stuff that they didn't want to do. And the truth is, in the Christian life, sometimes there are things that come before us that we don't naturally want to do, right? I'll give you an example of something that I didn't naturally want to do. When I went through my own journey of becoming a pastor, I spent years actually avoiding and trying to come up with any reason not to. And then when I finally said that I was willing to go to seminary, I desperately tried to stay on the deacon path because I never wanted to preach ever in my life because I thought that would be the most horrible thing. And it is the most horrible thing. But there are things that happen in our life where we don't naturally want to do them, or we might try and avoid them. And if we get stuck in a pattern where we just stick with what our initial gut reaction is, you know, well, I didn't feel like it, so I didn't. We're missing out on a lot. And we know of how that can have big repercussions in other parts of our life, right? I have shared with many of you that my son is an eighth grader, and there are any number of things that are before him that he doesn't naturally want to do, right? Right? And I don't just say, like, hey, it's okay, don't worry about it. I mean, there are there are things that he is learning to do because it is something important for him. And thank goodness, more often than not, once he does it, he's like, that was important for me. Thank you. So I give thanks that God shows him the wisdom, right? But his natural proclivity is not necessarily the most helpful. That is what Wesley is getting at. Like, don't just go into what you think you want. All right, sometimes you got to push a little. All right, the next thing about doing good is that he mentions by doing good, especially to them that are of the household of faith or groaning so to be, employing them preferably to others, buying of one another, helping each other in business, and so much the more because the world will love its own and them only. And this piece about doing good is Wesley's encouragement for us to recognize that sense of we all do better when we all do better. And what does it take to help support one another, not just with thoughts and prayers, but genuinely be committed and connected and supportive of one another's endeavors? Because it has a social implication in economic implications in our well-being as a community. And that, of course, has a huge piece about where the Methodist movements went, and you can track historically all kinds of things that bubbled up because of this sense of doing good for economic development. The next is, by all possible diligence and frugality, that the gospel be not blamed. So remember last week in Do No Harm, Wesley had a number of points about living simply and really kind of understanding that if I can If I can live with less, I have more to. So it's the earn, save, give for those of you who are, you know, standard United Methodists, that you can earn all you can, save all you can, so you can give all you can. Like, I'm going to live simply so that others can simply live. And he really felt strongly about the fact that it wasn't about not having what I need, but recognizing that when I can kind of keep a simple life together, I have more room to be generous to those who are around me. The next points, because, oh, he keeps going. Next slide. He writes, by running with patience the race which is set before them, denying themselves and taking up their cross daily, submitting to bear the reproach of Christ, to be as the filth and offscouring of the world, and looking that the men should say all manner of evil to them falsely for the Lord's sake. So, the easiest way for me to summarize this point is to have a little bit of humility. I think it's really important for us, though, as we broach this piece about teachings on humility, is that there is a really important difference between understanding the teaching of humility and the practice of humiliation. So humiliation, the easiest way for me to describe this is when I'm trying to use my power to do something harmful to you. So if I am trying to use my words or do something in the world to cause your sense of being to diminish because I want to control you or do something harmful to you, that's humiliation. We are not to stand up for that. That's why do no harm says, no way, Jose. Humility, though, however, keeps in mind that, as Paul mentioned, about being attentive to where we put ourselves, you know, the status that we have, recognizing that, you know what, I am capable. Humility, actually, the word humus, like earth, so remembering the stuff you're made of. And you remember, as Christians, we are made in the image of God, right? So we are capable of amazing things, and humility recognizes that we are capable of the heights of the most amazing things, and we're also capable of the depths of some of the worst things. And historically, we can see how that has played itself out as humankind. So humility remembers that I probably shouldn't take myself too seriously, and I better take God seriously. And we have some hard language in here because when we act as humble people, we realize we may not have all the answers. We may not understand where things are heading, but we run, as it says, run with patience the race that is set before us. We keep our eyes on God. We let God be God in our lives. And we realize that sometimes, especially not usually right away in your Christian life, but as we mature as Christians, as the love of God deepens within us and we practice this way of faith, our life begins to embody the ways of Jesus more regularly and more easily. And that sometimes involves some very hard things, like taking up whatever a cross might be for us. That is a very unpopular topic right now. I'm sure that my board chair wants me to not talk about that right now, because economically, that is not a popular thing to talk about as a church. If you want your church to succeed, you know, you should just talk about all the ways it's going to be great. But unfortunately, in the gospel, Jesus does still tell us to take up our cross. There are going to be hard things that we have to face. And that there are going to be parts in our life of faith that will not be sunshine and rainbows. That sometimes to do good, as we remember in our scripture reading, involved doing good to overcome evil. It wasn't just like making brownies for a party. It was standing in the face of evil and still knowing that you had the power to do good. Like, even at the gates of hell, you could do good. If that doesn't make you shiver a little bit, I gotta thump my Bible a little harder for you. But, in all seriousness, because Wesley believed that we didn't have to be afraid. We didn't have to be afraid of the things that were around us, that God could work fully enough in us to overcome evil with good. But we had to kind of gird our loins and grow up a little bit to get to that place of power. But that's where he's going with this, in doing good. That's where our scripture lesson is going in this, in that sense of doing good, is recognizing that when I put myself before God, recognizing that God is here, that God is in me, and that God goes before me. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me, right? There's a reason that we remember and cherish that. We need not be afraid. Good is what is inside of us. It is what God wants to come from us. And it may feel uncomfortable. It may be discouraging when you look all around us. But like the Apostle Paul, like Jesus, like Wesley, we are to remember that today will be different. God will be here. God will work through us. There is nothing to be afraid. And so, this day, may we recommit our lives to doing all the good we can in all the ways as we can for as long as we can. Amen.